shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show, and welcome back. We had a long weekend. It was Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday yesterday. We did take the night off, and we did because it's a national holiday. And if we're taking off Memorial Day and Labor Day, and we're taking off 4th of July, and we're taking off other national holidays, we're taking off Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. That's just all there is to it. And, you know,
extra day off.
Extra day off. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Thank you for tuning in to our debut on Napoleon Dynamite. When I say ours, I mean the show's debut, Napoleon Dynamite, on Sunday night following football. Did very well. My understanding was it brought in a very healthy audience. We'll find out how things go for Napoleon Dynamite as the weeks go by. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. We're going to talk, unfortunately, about some rather ghoulish news that has broken here in the Los Angeles area. And we do have Dave Oliva on the line. Dave is an aspiring Los Angeles police officer. He attends LA Canyon College in North LA County. He's also studying criminal justice. And we're going to be talking with him momentarily about some horrifying news. I can't put it any other way. And whether or not this is the right kind of news to be reporting in the middle of an economic downturn in this state and across the country. Online at philhendryshow.com, you can pick up a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show tonight, or listen to the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archives, or get our podcast, or any one of a multitude of things that you can do and have fun with over at philhendryshow.com. When it comes to just pure, good, quality, class, funny, great radio, that's where it is, on our website. I don't know about the rest of these guys with their two-minute clips every 3 months or what they call, you know, an archive, but we've got a real archive with full radio shows that goes back 13 years. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. If you want to get a chance at a free backstage pass for a month in the month of February, we're going to have a drawing at the end of this month, and all you have to do to register is go over to our fan page at Facebook. It's facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, and like the page. If you've already done that, you can go over to Phil Hendry Show at Twitter. That's twitter.com/PhilHendryShow and hashtag Phil Hendry. And you're automatically entered to possibly win a backstage pass for the month of February. We're going to give one away every month. And remember, next month is Phil History Month. So keep that in mind as we approach it. All right. Before I make this announcement, let's get Dave Oliva on the line. Dave, as I mentioned, is a criminal justice student taking law enforcement, criminal justice, forensics, and sociology at L.A. Canyon College. David, good evening, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Dave, are you en route to school now?
No, I just finished a late class, and I'm heading home right now. But you know, I have my mom's driving, so.
Oh, say hello to your mom.
Yes, I will. So I'm good.
Okay. David, the story here is that a human head was found in a bag along a trail near the Hollywood sign here in Los Angeles, in the L.A. area. Two women hikers with their dogs were hiking along that trail near the Hollywood sign, and it was discovered in the afternoon, so it was just fairly recent. The two women were hiking with nine dogs in the rugged hills near the 3200 block of Canyon Drive when two of the dogs found a plastic bag in the brush containing this human head. The LA police say it's an Armenian-American man in his 40s. They believe the slaying had occurred recently because of the condition of the remains. Sources said the investigators are trying to determine whether the area contains additional body parts. Very ghoulish story. What is your take? Just as a student of crime, criminology, and a guy who wants to be a police officer one day.
Well, I you know, in a lot of ways, Mr. Henry, I consider myself already to be a police officer. I mean, I'm not an official LAPD, but I've done a lot of ride-alongs with LAPD. I do make it my business to stop in to the Parker Center headquarters and to speak with the desk sergeants or watch commanders, people like that. I've come to know a lot of them by first name. So I've got a lot of inside information, not really a lot of inside information, but I do have information on, exactly how these things get investigated. And really what's important to me is what effect this is having on the community in general.
Well, first of all, you have a homicide, but it's a frightening homicide discovered in a manner that, good Lord, you're walking your dog, you know?
Yeah, there's no question about it. And here's the thing that really bothers me, and I think that needs to be taken into consideration. First of all, Mr. Henry, we're in the middle of a very down economy right now in the United States of America. There's a lot of people out of work, and a lot of those people are in the state of California in the tourism business. When the L.A. Times shows a sensationalism to print this kind of story, they don't take into consideration the people who are going to hear about it all over the country and will be reluctant to come to California on a tourism, you know, on a like a tourism trip. And so here we have this story, which is bad enough, you know, as a police officer, what I have to do. And if you want me to just go through the...
I'd like to know as what a police officer would do in investigating something like this.
Well, every police officer is different. But for me, the first thing I would do is, you know, I would try to find out if there's, you know, any other body parts. I would also maybe send some of my people or have people call, like the L.A. Times or other newspapers, to find out, are they going to print this? Because it's a two-pronged attack. I've got to find the individual who did this, and I've got to lessen the damage that the reporting of this is going to do.
And you're telling me that
I'm going to investigate the homicide.
You're going to investigate the homicide, and you're going to do what?
Well, I mean, I just want to ascertain whether the LA Times or any of the area newspapers is going to print this.
And why is that?
Well, because it will have an effect on the overall condition of the Los Angeles and California tourism. What I mean by that is, I like to think in a progressive way, and that's one of the things I'm taking right now at L.A. Canyon College. I want to bring to my police work a way more progressive look. I don't just want to find a criminal. I want to know what the criminal's actions have done. And what this criminal's actions have done is it has made the L.A. Times print the story and have scared people in other parts of the country.
And yeah, but what are you as a police officer going to do about that?
Well, there's not a lot I can do, but at least I can go to the L.A. Times and say, are you, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You go to them and say, are you serious? I mean, are you going to print this? And they're going to say, yeah. And you say, well, I want to let you know at this particular time that as a police officer, I do feel you're endangering the safety, you know, of people. And I'm sure they're going to say to me, well, thank you for the advice. You know,
yeah, they're probably blow you off.
Well, I mean, yeah, they may want to blow me off, but then they're blowing off a police officer, which that gets a little hairy. So if they blow me off, then I have to say, okay, you know, what you're doing now is you are not taking seriously the fact that ahead, you know, that this terrible crime was committed and that you are now going to print about it and you are now harming the economy. So,
But is any of this, Dave, and we're talking to Dave Oliva here, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is any of this stuff, Dave, the province, the responsibility of, the purview of a police officer?
Well, I mean, I don't know what you mean by it. Those are a lot of words. You know, that's a lot of fancy words.
In other words, is a police officer's responsibility to go to the L.A. Times and tell them, watch what you print?
That's why a new generation of police officer like me is going to come into LAPD, which I don't know about any other police departments, but LAPD is where I want to work, and a new generation has risen up to go to LAPD and say, we need a new way of doing things.
But these are man hours, you know.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, in other words, if you're going to investigate who committed this murder, which is your primary duty, going to the L.A. Times and asking, are you guys really going to print this story, that's an additional outlay of energy and...
Well, I mean, you know, there's no question, Mr. Henry, that the LAPD's got to do, you know, find a better way of doing things. I mean, they already do things good, but they got to do things better because this is a bad story to have people read about if they live in, like, I don't know, Wisconsin or anywhere else, and they're planning on coming to L.A. to get away from the winter. Think about it. Right now it's snowing, it's cold. There's places all over this country that people are, you know, want to leave and come to California to look at the, you know, to have an enjoyable time. Now they come out here, and the first thing they see in the newspaper is a head farm. That can only have a negative effect.
Right, but I just, when you say it's a new generation of police officer, which I understand.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, I mean, how are you going to find in the LAPD any superior? How are you going to, politically, I mean, this is beyond LAPD, this is a political thing, where you're going to say to the LA City Council, LA Police Commissioner, whatever, hey, or any city we're talking about now, folks, this isn't just a Los Angeles thing.
Well, it is just a Los Angeles thing from the standpoint of this is a new generation of cop coming to LAPD, but I hope there's other ones too.
You know? All right, but my point is it's a political thing. You're going to have to go to these cats and say, we want to have an expenditure of money. We need money so that not only are we investigating the crime, but we are also advising media as to what to report. I mean,
you're thinking it's like censorship.
Well, yeah, it feels that way.
Well, it's not censorship. It's not censorship. It's how, you know, it's one thing, Mr. Henry, to say, well, it's vital information. It's another thing to say, hey, you know what, a head. Hey, here's a report on a head. Hey, you know, it's all like, what do you say, sensational?
Well, why would that be sensational if you're going to say a head was found in the Hollywood Trail?
I mean, first of all, the only people that hike up there are local people. No tourist is going to go up there.
A lot of tourists go to the Hollywood sign.
Not to hike with your dog. They go and they take a picture and they leave. That's not a place where tourists are going to go and spend a lot of time. They take a picture, then they go. Now you say there's a head that got found up there. You're like not doing no good for no one, and it's sensationalism. The LA Times going, check it out, you know, whatever. There's a head up there, and somebody's dog found it, and this, that. It's not, does no good, you know, in the ultimate job of trying to prevent crime.
All right, Dave Oliva with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Do you think some of these newspapers and media outlets ought to limit their reporting of particularly ghoulish crimes because it may affect tourism here in Southern California? A human head was found this afternoon up near the Hollywood sign. Dave Oliva is joining us with his comment on why it's not such a good idea to report that. So that tourists find out about it. 877-876-PHIL is our number. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Now, Dave, you're not a cop.
No, sir. No, I'm not a cop.
Okay. So we have you on the program because you are a student of criminology and you're a student of sociology. You're also taking basic criminal justice so you can prepare for your career as a police officer and also find out about what techniques you might use as opposed to police officers today.
Well, yeah, but I also have, you know, a lot of friends. Like I said, I go over to Parker Center. I bring, like, some mornings it sounds kind of, you know, kind of funny, but some mornings I'll bring donuts and, you know, coffee over there to see what is going on and everything. I like to have, you know, experience being there, you know.
And all right, but that doesn't make you a cop bringing donuts to these guys. Or
No, not at all, but I do believe that I have more of a new generation look on how to deal with a crime like this, and it's a terrible crime.
All right, because what we're talking about here, folks, is today, this afternoon, in fact, in Los Angeles, a human head was found near the Hollywood sign on a hiking trail. Two women who were hiking with their dogs found it, and Dave, your opinion is that the number one thing that needed to be done, besides investigating the crime, is to make sure the LA Times or other media outlets don't report it.
Unfortunately, yes, sir. Yeah. Be- because of the economy that we have in tourism, which is so vital to the state of California. And then next thing you know, they've reported this, and it's not good to have people come out here.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll go to some phone calls here. We have Dave Oliva on the line talking about the crime and whether and the level of this crime and whether it ought to be, whether it should be, what is it, reported. Here is Marlon. Marlon, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Phil. Hello, Dave.
Good evening.
Hey, sir, how you doing? I'm good, yeah.
I was listening to your comments, and I have a major problem with it seems like you're circumventing the whole Constitution, you know, to censor a potential crime or a crime that has actually happened and to purposely go to the media outlets to withhold that from the public. In essence, you're putting more lives in danger rather than trying to curtail crime and help the recession. I mean, there's been crime in California all over this country, and it has not affected tourism. New York's 9/11, the biggest tragedy for the United States, and tourism is still booming in New York.
Well, that's true, but California's economy is really bad. I don't know. I don't know the numbers compared to New York, but I just think, like, when they reported what happened in New York, you know, I understand you have to report that because it's so huge, you know, of what happened. Mm-hmm. But, like, constantly reporting it over and over and over, you know?
Well, what are they supposed to do? I mean, that was an enormous...
Well, they're protecting the people. I mean, as an individual, if there's a potential serial killer or a vicious killer on the loose in the Hollywood Hills, I would like to know about it so I would know not to go there rather than keep...
What about that? Yeah. What about that, Dave? What about the angle of protecting people?
Well, that's what we're doing when we go to the L.A. Times and we say, you know, you guys are reporting about a head or this crime. You are going to make it so nobody wants to come here for the tourism, and that costs jobs. I mean, that protects people, too.
But, Dave, can I ask you a question? If you drive a vehicle that has faulty brakes, but the manufacturer knows the brakes don't work, and you get in that car and drive, and you find out when you're on the highway you hit the brakes, wouldn't you have rather known before you got in the car that the brakes didn't work?
Well, I don't exactly see. Yes, I would, but by the same token, I want somebody. The man to put those brakes in has got a job, okay?
And so does the L.A. Times. And the L.A. Times have a job.
The L.A. Times has got a job. They got a million different things they can report. Do they have to talk about a head?
Yes.
Being found. Why?
Yes, they do. Why?
Because the man just said. You just said, Marlon. And I want to reiterate, safety, public safety, there's a guy on the loose.
Yeah, they could say, hey, you know, there's a guy on the loose, you know, make sure you be, you know, beware of him or something. But you have to say they found a head in a bag?
What would you rather them say? If it was
just
to you, what
like
would you
really
have
nothing.
Say?
Nothing.
You
just,
would want
you know,
them to say nothing?
No report.
Yeah, you don't have to because you can say, you know, today was a regular day in L.A. There were people got murdered, whatever. You know, I mean, we want you to come to L.A. to have a good time. Like 9/11. Let's take 9/11. I know there was no way they were not going to report on it, but the reporting on 9/11, I think, is what kept the tourists down.
But the reporting on 9/11.
With all due respect to your criminology intentions and your intention to be a police officer, if this is what the new generation of the LAPD is going to bring, it's not looking too good because, in essence, you guys are basically proposing that you hide crimes that have happened and you solve it when you can solve it. So if you don't report it, when would you give a news conference to when somebody has been captured?
Well, no, I'm not saying don't report it. I'm saying you just say, you know, a guy got killed today or something.
A guy got killed today. What?
Yeah, I don't know what you guys want from me. I'm trying to save jobs in California, and the L.A. Times wants to put on the front page some dude's head in a bag?
Dave, this is a vicious killing that took place.
It probably was a mafia or something. You know,
Dave,
all right, look, we got to take a break.
You cannot speculate, you know. I mean,
you don't know. A head in a bag?
It could be a serial killer, yeah. All right, listen, I got to take a break, Marlon. I appreciate very much
you,
your
Phil,
call.
Dave,
our number is,
you
thank you, sir, 877-876-PHIL. Dave Oliver with us on the reporting of gruesome crime. Should it be held back from the news media so as to promote tourism and not at least hurt tourism in Southern California? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back, 877-876-7445.
A head in a bag.
Phil Hendry.
That ain't good.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Dave Oliver here, and we're discussing with Dave this most recent hideous crime here in Southern California, and they happen across the country. There was a head found along the Hollywood Sign Trail this afternoon. And, Dave, you were mentioning during the break the Adam Walsh story.
Yeah, that's a good story right there. Adam Walsh, you know, is John Walsh's son, and he was murdered by this guy, Otis Poole, who's a serial killer. That guy was such a freak, you know, that, like, they should never have reported that because...
What do you mean they should never have reported what? That the boy was killed?
No, I'm not saying that. But Otis, probably not even report the kid was killed, yeah. I'll tell you why.
No. Hold on for a minute.
Let me tell you why. I'll tell you the perfect reason why. Because the guy that did it, Otis Toole, was a serial killer. He was all, like, I've seen this interview with him, and he's all, ha, 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 you know, I'd like to see a city burn down. I mean, just telling people about that guy gave him, notoriety, and it also gave him publicity. And it made him, you know, look like he's all special, you know.
What do you mean it made him look like he's all special? Are you basically saying that?
No, I'm just saying that when they
are you basically saying that just don't publicize crime and therefore people won't be afraid of it?
No, sir. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you give out, I would say a really gruesome crime like the Hollywood Head or this poor or little Adam Walsh, you know. And
what's the Hollywood Head? The thing that happened today?
Yes, sir. That's just a way of talking about it so that it's easier for people to, I'm not a police officer yet, but one of the things I want to do as a police officer is try to communicate the news to people so it's not as gruesome and scary as it is now. And to that extent, like this crime, I would say is the Hollywood Head. And the Adam Walsh crime, I would just say, head in the I think they found that poor little boy's head in the canal. So I would just say, head overboard or
what does that do, man, to the family of that little boy or of the family of this man when they see head overboard or head or Hollywood Head?
Well, it's not. Yes, I would go to that family. I'd say, okay, you're going to see some things reported that are not going to be particularly pleasant. But they're only going to be called this for the news media so that there is not the reaction of the tourism, okay? Because look at what happened, Mr. Hendry, with little Adam Walsh. That's Florida. That's tourism, okay?
And that's a little boy that you're minimizing.
No, I'm not minimizing him. I'm just saying the guy that did it got into a lot of books and news magazines, and you even said you saw an interview with the guy.
Otis Toole, you better believe I did, yeah.
See, that made him, like, important.
No. Well, hold the phone here, man. What do you mean important? I looked at this interview with that Otis Toole. I thought that guy should have been... I don't know why that guy was not put in the electric chair or whatever they had in those days in Florida. I can't freaking believe it. Any more than I can believe that Charles Ng is still alive, Richard Ramirez is still alive. Otis Toole, there was no bringing that guy back, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if... So what are you saying?
That guy's not something special to me, okay? And the other thing is, what happened to Adam Walsh was a horrifying thing, but it didn't keep people from moving there, from going there.
Well, yeah, because of the fact that it was not as publicized as California, which is way more popular. Okay,
but Head Overboard is not going to be respect. First of all, it doesn't respect the family, and second of all, it does not communicate the crime.
Well, the crimes, Mr. Andrew, you have to understand. You know, as much as I want to respect the family, and it's important that I want to respect the family. Okay, okay, Mr. Andrew.
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Okay, as much as I do want to respect the family, and you know, be a part of that, you have to go first to what's best for tourism in the California areas.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Lloyd in Alhambra. Lloyd, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to talk to this the gentleman. What's your name?
My name is Lloyd. My name's Dave. Sorry.
Your name is Dave, right?
Yes, sir.
My name's Lloyd.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Why'd you say your name was Lloyd?
I just made a mistake. I'm sorry.
Well, let me tell you something. I've had an arcade this evening with my grandson, who has the week off. It's ski week. And I told him I'd bring him over to the ball. And I'll tell you this right now, my friend. If I, God forbid, lost this child tonight, and they found a head, God help me.
Take it easy.
Well, sir...
No, hold on. If they found my grandson's head over here in the Whistler Pond, which is right next to the mall...
Yes, sir?
And they said in the news they found a head over at the... They said, head overboard. Buddy, there you wouldn't be able to run. There wouldn't be... I can't think of a country or a location or a city that you could run to and be safe.
Well, sir, I think you need to calm down, first of all.
Hold on. I'm calm. You don't have to tell me to calm down. Now, Whistler Pond is right next to the mall that we go to here in Alhambra, California. And if my grandson's head was found in Whistler Pond, and I heard you...
All right, well, Lloyd, hold on for a minute, man. Just calm down. This is Phil, okay?
Yes, sir.
Just calm. We understand and I agree with you. But you don't need to yell or get yourself worked up.
Well, I'm not getting myself worked up, but the idea of my grandson's head floating in Whistler Pond.
Yes, sir. I'm not familiar with it. I've been to Alhambra, sir, and I think I know the Whistler Pond you're talking about. But I can assure you, sir, I would never want to see or have to go there as an LAPD officer.
Well, you wouldn't, because it's Alhambra, sir.
Well, it is Alhambra, but if they needed assistance, and I went and I had to fish your son's head out of Whistler Pond, I would not want to do that.
Fish it out, you know, Mr. Henry, everything this guy says is an affront.
I want to just ask you something, Dave. You're bringing up the Adam Walsh case, that they reported Adam Walsh. You're bringing up this case today in Hollywood that they reported. All of the evil in all of this, you say, is the reporting and the letting people know.
Well, it's not only that, but it's what it does is it...
You're saying it keeps tourism.
Yeah, hold on. It keeps tourism out?
Yes, sir. It keeps tourism away, and so...
Well, you know, something as far as I'm concerned, that's a good thing. I can't, you know, and God forgive me for saying this, but there aren't enough heads to go around to keep the tourists out of this state. And
all right, that's a hell of a thing to say.
I'm sorry.
Sir, that's a heck of a thing to say, that there's not enough heads to go around.
And I'll tell you this, what tourism has done to this state, you could find 100 heads up and down the Hollywood sign trail, and I can tell you it wouldn't burn my eggs. And I'll tell you something else. You have some nerve talking about Whistler. You didn't say Whistler Pond. What did you say?
Okay, let's not talk about that anymore. I don't want to hear about that anymore. I don't care about Whistler Pond or the Adam Walsh story has been well chronicled, and I don't want to hear about it. Do you understand?
Well, sir, he brought it up.
Phil, I only brought it up to illustrate...
You brought it up to illustrate some point about tourism. And tourism is tourism, and crime is crime. And crime is a serious thing that needs to be reined in before you can even begin to think about tourism.
Sir, but until that time, Mr. Henry, at least what you could do is go to the L.A. Times and say... You know, use some kind of code, Hollywood Head, or...
That's not going to going to do a damn thing, Hollywood head. All that's going to do is frighten me more. Because if you get a headline, you get a headline like that, and you think there's a head, I don't know what he's trying to say.
That kind of frivolous headline is not going, I think I agree with Lloyd, it's not going to mitigate the horrible things that are happening.
If I see a headline that says Hollywood head, my God, you'd think there's one out there on the trail talking to you.
Sir, that is absolutely asinine and ridiculous. And
that's all I've been listening to from you is asinine and ridiculous since you came on the air.
Sir, I'm trying to help not only solve the crime problem, but tourism.
And what we're saying here, Dave, is that is not the purview, if you want to use that word, of the police to solve crime. And, oh, yeah, by the way, let's make sure tourism stays at a very, very healthy clip. Lloyd, thank you very much. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Dave Oliva here about this human head found in a bag along the trail near the Hollywood sign. And really what we're talking about is how do you report crime? And how do you not only report crime, but you do it in a way that keeps people less, you know, keeps people from panicking, and in Dave's mind, keeps tourism from dropping off. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back with Dave Oliva and your phone calls in a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line with us here is Dave Oliva from L.A. Canyon College. And Dave, you are not a police officer. I want people to know that, but you are studying to be a police officer. And I think people are, you're saying you're the next generation, you know?
Well, yeah, I think that's what I'm trying to say. You know, we're the next generation of police to investigate, you know, and people can say, that one guy, I don't know what his problem was, you know, and I said, you know, about Adam Walsh, all I was trying to say was...
You were talking about headlines that the newspapers could use that wouldn't frighten people, like Head Overboard or the Hollywood Head.
Oh, yes, sir. And to that end, what I'm trying to say is it still keeps the tourism coming in while you have a gruesome crime like a head that's found in a bag. That's all.
And solving the crime?
Well, yeah, the crime, you have to solve the crime, but while you're solving the crime, do you have to have the state go into bankruptcy? I don't think so.
Well, the state's already bankrupt, so 877-876-PHIL.
Well, no, the state's not bankrupt yet, Mr. Henry. I'm saying if they keep the head dues out there, it will be.
No, the state's broke. I don't know what news you're reading, but the state's broke. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Billy. Billy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva.
Okay. My comment about the tourism, the man commenting about the tourism and the headline, Head Overboard just sounds offensive to the family, Head Overboard. It sounds like something you hear in, like, an Inquirer or one of those fake newspapers. And my thought on a crime like
yeah.
that... I think
well, your
that
your
the
other
public,
thought,
like the public should be made aware of stuff like that, but I don't think that, like, you know how they make books off of criminals, they make books, and then the people, like, they're narcissists or they're like, they
yeah,
have
like a lot of times
issue, and they totally
yeah, like
get
a lot
on,
of time.
On crime. I'm sorry.
Right, they write a book about it, or they make a movie of the week about it. You know,
if they make money, they should not make money off of a horrific crime because they have something that's wrong with them upstairs, you know? That there's some kind
well,
of sociopath.
That Billy, you're making a very good point. In the state of California, you're not allowed to profit from your crime. In fact, they've now denied interview access to people like Charles Manson because they don't want to see this sort of thing glorified or.
I wanted to make to the lady.
That they feed off their crimes. They feed off the publicity
oh, exactly.
that they get off of that.
Right.
Well, see, that's my point. So if you say that a guy's head was found on the Hollywood Trail, there's a guy out there going, yeah, I did that, you know? And so,
I think he should be banned from watching the news so he doesn't be able to, like, wreak the glory from the horrific thing that he did to that family. He shouldn't be allowed to watch the news and read the newspaper and then see himself
exactly.
on there and then brag.
Exactly.
Well, you can't do that until you capture him.
No, I would have him not watch the news. Well, you're right. I mean, you can't do it until you capture him, but that's why I'm saying even if you haven't captured him, if you at least say to the news, just use code like head, Hollywood Head, or I know the lady doesn't like head overboard, but
I was
you
talking
still
more about, like, after they catch him. Like, I mean, I know, like, they have criminals that they'll
well,
watch
about before?
On TV before they got caught. But after the fact, I don't think any state should allow them to profit off of anything like that. Like, you know how they get movie deals and book things? And
sure, nah. They, nah.
I
don't know how many states.
They're in jail.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many states still. How many states allow that, Dave?
There's still a lot of states who will let you go and make a movie of the week with a guy. I think there's some killers that can do commercials.
Commercials? For what?
I don't know. You know, that's what I'm saying.
That's
so
crazy.
If you do head overboard, and
what is with this head overboard, man? The lady just said, and I agree with her, the family is hurt by that.
But nobody knows
what
but
do you think
them.
The family's going to think when they read that in the newspaper, their son was brutally murdered, and they read head overboard, and then there's a serious article. It's not like somebody dropped their dog in the ocean. It's like there's a live child that was
a child. A child that was murdered.
I see what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is if you say it in a way so the public goes, yeah, okay, I know that's Adam Walsh's head, but also it's not big, it's not gruesome.
It mocks, it makes fun.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Make light of somebody being decapitated. There's not really a way that you can say in a nicer way that somebody was decapitated. That's no matter how you say that, that's horrific. You can make
what about
it
Hollywood Head? Okay, true. What about Hollywood Head?
Did you just hear what the lady said?
If I had to compare that to head overboard, I would not find that as offensive.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't like either one, and I think you have to report it.
But, Mr. Henry, I'm an aspiring LAPD officer, so you can't tell me. I mean, I'm telling you. You know,
what do you mean you're telling me? I'm telling you, as a citizen, I don't like that. I want to have the news reported. I'm sorry about tourism. California's a beautiful place. We've got a lot of tourists. Florida does, too. But this kind of butchery and brutality's got to end. My God, you know, it's been happening ever since I was basically in high school.
Well, you're talking about Chuck Manson.
Right there,
people
Chuck.
People are going to go to California. There are gangs in California. People still go to California. There are gangs in Florida. People still go to Florida every year.
Yeah, but the gangs, there's no head over, but excuse me for saying that. I mean, there's no head. The gangs aren't, like, putting heads in the canal.
But they
you don't know what they're doing.
Drive by and they'll kill innocent people that were just, they were just walking home from work or walking their dog and they got caught up in this crossfire. People that
exactly.
have nothing to do
right.
with this gang will get they'll still get killed. But that's
it's
not
true. That happens.
From going to Miami or going to Orlando.
I don't care about gangs. I don't care about gangs. I don't think most people care about gangs, but I do care about a head. Okay, and a head. See, that's just
a head. You mean
a murder?
Well, yeah, but a head sitting out on a trail is way worse than just like. A murder.
Okay. Billy, thank you so much.
Death is, you know, that affects the community.
Yeah,
the family.
Absolutely. You
no
know,
matter
but
how they
also
die, that affects people around them that love that person that's not there anymore because somebody...
Are you going to not come to a town? Let me ask you something. Are you going to not come to a town if you say, I read in the newspaper where an 80-year-old lady got smothered by her husband. Is that going to make you not come to the town? No. But if a head's found and you found later the head was smothered, okay.
What do you mean you found later the head was smothered?
Well, what I'm saying is if that was not the cause of death.
What about it?
That would be worse.
It would be worse if the fact that there's a murder taking place.
Sometimes they don't put everything in a newspaper.
Yeah, they don't. All right, Billy, thank you very much. I got to take another call, but I appreciate your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Ruben on the line. Ruben, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, Phil. Dave, hi. How are you?
Dave,
I'm sorry. I'm really shocked in what I'm hearing you say. The fact is that if you're worried about what the newspapers are going to say about the economy, that tells me right off the bat that your priorities are way off. I mean, this is not going to save the economy for California. In no form, no way, not 1%.
I'm talking about tourism.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm referring to. That's what you're saying. I don't see how it has anything to do with it. What really
you read in the newspaper, if you're going to be a tourist, you read in the newspaper that a guy got smothered and then his head was cut off.
No.
That's going to
I mean, the newspaper can put out a disembodied part or anything like that. Doesn't have to make it as gruesome as what you know has occurred. I mean, they have ways of doing it and have
how would they do it? Well, how would they do it? Like,
disembodied.
Yo, look at Ruben. Hang on, Ruben. I'm going to take a break, Ruben, but you hang on. Hold on the line here for just a second. We'll be right back with you, man. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Dave Oliva. We're talking about crime, punishment, tourism, and how tourism is affected by these gruesome crimes that are reported. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back. 877-876-PHIL.
That's just bad, you know. Head.
Yeah, I get it.
Blase.
Phil Hendry.
Blase, blase.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, back live tonight, as we are every night. And during, by the way, football playoff season, be sure to join us on Phil TV and HD on our website as we have Sunday football with Phil. And we joined so many of our BSPs on Sunday and had a fine little football afternoon watching the Packers and watching the Giants just do a number on the Packers. And we'll do it again on Sunday. We generally do the late game, the second game on Sunday, which I think this is whatever game is Sunday. I don't know if it's going to be a late game or not. It's probably the conference championship, one of the other conferences. So we'll be there for you. Phil TV in HD on philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. On the line with me is Dave Oliva. And Dave is at right now. I guess you're back home, Dave, in San Fernando.
Well, actually, we're still traveling. I'm going to my sister's. I have to pick up. I've got to pick up two auto detailing. A couple of my brother has an auto detail business that I'm also partners with him in. I have to pick up a couple of bids.
Okay. In any event, we're talking with Dave here. But you're eventually going to be a police officer.
Yes, sir. That is my dream, to be LAPD. There's no question about that.
And Dave is a student of criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College. All right. So this crime in Los Angeles, near the Hollywood sign, a decapitated head found along the Hollywood sign hiking trail near the sign. We mentioned the horrifying murder of poor little Adam Walsh and what his family went through, and these other gruesome crimes.
I mean, you can talk about like if you want to talk about like what was that one crime, Jeffrey Dahmer? You know, it's the same thing. You know, are you going to tell me that you're going to want to report they found a head? You know, every time that's reported, you got one less tourist that's going to come to your town.
All right, well, look at Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What do you think the money is in tourism there? I'm not saying it's not a great city to visit. I've been there. It's a lot of fun to visit the breweries and go out to Lake Michigan, the beer gardens. It's fun, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Are you putting that down? Because everybody's been saying, I've been saying bad stuff. You're putting down what?
I'm not putting anything down.
Well, I mean, if they've got beer gardens, they got beer gardens. And you're going to come out on the news and say, and in Mr. Dahmer's, I guess they found in like his icebox, they found head. They found a lot of heads. And
They found a lot of stuff. Mr. Dahmer was beyond weird. That cat was beyond crazy. He was beyond murderous. He was a cannibal. So they found a lot of things. You're not going to announce that? You know, that little boy that escaped and those stupid Milwaukee cops turned him back into the custody of Dahmer, that child, he might have survived, okay? We're talking about information.
Well, what are you saying? Should they go down and report that on the news? One of the things is, Mr. Hendry, that boy escaped and was questioned by the police and then turned back over to Dahmer. There was no time to go to the Milwaukee newspaper and say, you know, there was a nude kid. We found a nude kid, but I mean, I don't know.
What are you talking about, man? I'm not talking about going to the Milwaukee newspaper. I'm talking about publicity, and I'm talking about making sure people know. Let's go back to Ruben, who's been hanging on. Ruben, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Dave, I've been listening to you from the very beginning here, and I am so totally set back by what you were saying. I get the impression that you're a very young individual right now, and going to school, et cetera. And I'm finding that your reasoning and what you're using to validate what you believe about tourism and so on and so forth, I think you're really stepping way out of bounds and way out of your territory to even come close to what the real
What town do you live in? I mean, I've lived in L.A. my whole life, and the tourism gets affected by...
Hold on, Dave. Coincidentally,
what?
I was born and raised in San Fernando in the Sylmar area.
That's where I live.
Okay, fine. So I don't know what that has to do with it. I'm living in Idaho right now, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Okay?
You can't really comment on L.A. if you're living in Idaho.
Hey,
yes, he can. He grew up here.
Just as a citizen, working with the police. And if I learned as a citizen that police are starting to control with the media the editors or journalists are saying about something, and if I can't get that information, then I'm living in a police state. And that is so...
I'm not saying that, sir. You didn't listen to me.
You're talking about not letting the newspapers say anything about it or...
Code. Use code.
Why?
Either head on a stick or head overboard.
No, the simplest thing would have been just a disembodied part. I mean, that's so simple, and that's the truth.
That is going to scare the tourists, and they'll never come to the city.
Really?
If you
it
do
could
that.
Have been a finger or a hand. That's not, it's going to hurt tourism. What in the world does the police department have any concern with tourism? What? Isn't it solving
because
the crime?
That's where the part comes in of me being the next generation of people. Because what we're looking at is what crimes does it cause when
of police? I'm at the point where I'm listening to you. A new generation
of police
goes out of business. As if your generation has a better handle on things than things that have been going on for years and years before you. And
I'm saying if a new chicken dog place opens up,
from what I'm hearing from you, is I hope to God, I hope good luck in the police force, but I hope that you never get farther than being a traffic cop. That's it.
Well, I mean, sir, if a chicken dog place opens up and they're doing good business until they come out and go, oh, by the way, a head got discovered near this guy's chicken dog stand, what do you think that does to his business?
That's completely...
What?
You're just pulling things out of the air that have...
Well, let me ask you a question.
What the fact has happened?
If it was your chicken dog stand, and the reason why I say chicken dog is a nephew of mine opened up a chicken dog place. If it was your chicken dog stand and they found a head, wouldn't you care?
Well, the man's making a good point.
That's exactly the point. I
don't care if they said your chicken dog place got a head near it. That's what you care about.
And I'd want to
know. Would you want other people to know?
Exactly.
You want the crime solved. And let the chips fall where they may where it comes to somebody's business. Thank you very much, Ruben, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Harold on the Phil Henry Show. Harold, go ahead.
Hi, I don't think that gentleman did not address my point.
Harold, it's going very well, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, Phil, listen, I don't know, man. I don't think this guy ever make it past the psychiatric violation as far as being a cop. I mean, he's talking total nonsense. Total nonsense. Dude,
that
your
last
first priority
did not...
as a police officer is to protect and serve. You have nothing to do with tourism, man. Absolutely nothing. Let me tell you something, man. If you were the next generation, you would bankrupt California by yourself. You'd have so many lawsuits that it wouldn't even be funny. Golly gee, man, what are you talking about?
No,
I mean, you talking
Mr.
like
Henry.
You talking like you have you even started school yet? I mean, are you in your first semester?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I have. I'm in my second year toward my AA. I'm in my second year toward my AA.
You're talking like this? Oh, my God, man. I tell you what. You just wasted your time. You need to go over.
That man didn't answer my question about the fact I said if they found a head near a chicken dog stand.
A chicken dog stand? What does that have to do with anything? I could care less about a chicken dog stand. That's a person
I brought it up because my nephew had opened up a business.
And serve. Protect
yes,
and
sir.
Serve. So that means that you would have to communicate the information to the people of the state first. What are you worried about tourists for? You want to see more people get murdered? I mean,
no,
you're
sir.
Crazy.
I want to see
you
more tourists come to the state.
Crazy. If you're the next generation, California is in trouble. Trust me. Because
well, you know, it's in trouble that the citizens don't understand the job of a police officer for me to say
understand.
To people.
Your job is to protect and serve. It is not to control tourism. What do you care
my
about?
My job is to make sure, though.
Are you listening, Dave? I got to interrupt. Are you listening what the man's saying?
All I'm trying to say is, and the reason why I brought up chicken dog is because my nephew had a chicken dog stand. If they found a head near.
That should be
what?
Your new dream. That should be your new dream. Open up a chicken dog stand. You know what? Do that. Because you would not make it as a cop. That's for sure. There's no.
I could ask you, I could ask you the question. If they found a murder victim near your business.
A murder victim near my business, I would want
yes.
to communicate it so nobody else would end up that way. That's what
okay,
I would want.
Okay, and guess what? No more people come to your business. No one comes for your chicken dog.
If they don't come to my chicken dog stand, guess what? I'll move it. I mean, I would
Dave, there you go.
See a person
there you
saved
go.
Then yeah. have somebody beheaded and another one because you didn't communicate the information to the people. So
that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. I think business. Yeah, that's the bottom line. I think businesses have to realize that, Dave. You know.
Well, Mr. Henry, you and this gentleman are not thinking about something entirely, and you're not thinking about this. The number of people that are thrown out of a job when you don't find the guy, when you say, oh, yeah, they found a head down here on 5th and Main.
What do you want? Do you want to be a politician or a policeman? I mean, that's
I want to be a policeman. I want to be the new generation of policemen.
If you're going to be the new generation of policemen, you're going to protect and serve better than the ones that are already doing the job, that have press conferences over these
no, sir.
To let people
no, sir.
Know what's going on so that they can,
no,
they
sir.
Can walk around in groups rather than being single or whatever, to give that individual the opportunity to do it again. I mean, if you're going to do anything, you let the people know. If you're
yes.
worried about tourism, you tell the tourists, make sure that they travel in more than one. Because the key word is tourist, meaning plural, not individual.
You know, Dave, when Miami had those people coming out of the airport and they were getting bumped by gangbangers, you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The newspaper didn't say, oh, let's not tell the tourists coming out of Miami International that gang members are ripping them off or that one lady was murdered. They told everybody. They had to. It was a responsibility
yeah,
to tell people.
Responsibility to do just
but
that.
They could have said, yeah, but they didn't have to say, they could have said, like, lady, they could have used code, like I said, get overboard,
code,
that lady didn't
code.
Like it.
Okay, who's going to understand the code? And what happens when another person is murdered because you decided to use a code rather than using a simple fact?
You don't understand what head overboard is. Wow.
What does that mean? I don't understand.
Head overboard. That means somebody fell off a boat. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
A head, sir.
Okay. Listen, Harold, thank you. Harold, thank you for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk about crime and what the media should report in these economic times, when tourism and the like is so important to the economy of many states, California is one, Florida is another, New York is another, Nevada. What do you report? Dave proposes that the police have a hand in releasing the information in a way that would not alarm the public. Don't say a decapitated head was found. Just say Hollywood head or some kind of code. 877-876-PHIL, your opinions on our show tonight as well with Dave Olivet. And, of course, our News and Information Hour coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dave Oliva on the line with us. You're talking, Dave, during the break, was talking to me about the D.B. Cooper case, and you said they found what?
This was reported in, Phil, this was reported in a Washington newspaper, I think it was in November, that human body parts were found, but mostly they identified a head, the skull, I should say, but it had, the skull had on it a helmet in the middle of an area that there would be no motocross, there's no motorcycle, no nothing. This was a very remote area. And now they feel that it could be D.B. Cooper. They don't know yet. Now, if we don't take these things seriously, how are we going to find out who these people are, you know?
And yeah, but I mean, are you telling me don't report that D.B. Cooper's head was found?
I'm saying you can't report a head until you know, because now all of these people want to do another D.B. Cooper movie. You know, how many of those are we going to have? And everybody thinks they found D.B. Cooper this, D.B. Cooper that. They haven't found nobody, you know?
That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about a brutal, vicious crime that is hours old and reporting it to the public safety, a skull in the middle of a forest in southern Washington, far from any humanity and any civilization, that they theorize may be that of D.B. Cooper. This is not a public safety issue so much as it's just solving a cold case, you know.
Okay, so now you're telling me that a head, no big thing.
I'm telling you that it's the circumstances. Let's take a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go over to Fernando here. Fernando's in El Paso. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Well, I'm just trying to say that Hollywood Head sounds like another movie that he's trying to make, or what is he trying to make, a sitcom out of that?
And I'm not going to try to make no sitcom. What do you mean, a sitcom? I mean, we're talking about a head.
Well, I live next to the worst city that you can find in Mexico, and we see that every other day. And yes, if you have it every other day, it's going to affect tourism, but if it's an isolated incident, it wouldn't be such a big deal if you find the person who did it.
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about Juarez, Mexico. That's not El Paso, you know. El Paso,
no, I'm saying
El Paso.
That.
That's of course. That's America.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to go down to El Paso, and I'm going to have a good time or whatever, you know. I don't care what's going on in Juarez. I can't do nothing about that anyway, you know.
I still go over there, but I'm saying, you see that every other day over here. We read about it. We see it in our news. And we don't get scared because it doesn't happen over here. It just might be an accident.
Do you go to Juarez to party, or what are you doing?
Oh, I got family.
And you go there even though they're finding heads down there. Wow.
They're finding parts and bags all the time. They find freaking, they have all these notes. You find all crazy stuff over there. They show it on the
news. What's the F there, Fernando? Sorry.
Sorry about that, sir.
You can't say the F word, man, but look.
No, I know.
I know Juarez ain't nothing, man. Juarez is not America. I'm talking about America and in Hollywood, California, which is where I come from, L.A., you know? And look.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now look. And I want to be LAPD. I'm not going to tell people, oh, yeah, come on out to Hollywood, man, and check out, you know, Man's Chinese, this, that. And by the way, up at the Hollywood sign where everybody likes to go to take a picture, guess what, man? They found some dude's head in the bag. Yeah, sure.
Well, they're not going to put it that way. They're going to say, oh, by the way, the Hollywood sign where everybody likes to take pictures, they found a guy's head in a bag.
Well, yeah, that's what the L.A. Times. What are you laughing at, man? I mean, the L.A. Times put it like that. Head found, you know. I swear to God, man, it's almost like the L.A. Times wants tourists to go away and just because they'll say, yeah, guess what else, man? A head. Okay, great, man. Thank you. If I had a concession on Hollywood Boulevard of selling T-shirts and selling, what do you call it? They sell like those freeway signs you can get for kids. And they also sell.
Okay, so you had a concession. What about it?
And the L.A. Times goes, by the way, there's a head up here on the trail if you want to go look at it. Yeah, sure. Would you, this dude, Fernando, come to Hollywood?
Yeah, of course, because all I got to do is make it, it's an isolated incident. It's not like it happens every other day.
Not like it's happening every day.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Well, like, they're killing people left and right every 30 seconds, and it's not like that. So it wouldn't affect
I don't know, man. I don't know if they are or not, man. Like, tomorrow they'll find maybe another head, another head, another head. You don't know.
They're going to find a head a day.
See, now you're laughing about it, Mr. Henry. I think it's unfortunate, you know, that tourism's being destroyed by it.
And you with the code, man, the Hollywood head. I agree with Fernando. It sounds like a movie. Sir, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to Dan. Dan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Remark for Phil. I feel like I understand what the gentleman is trying to say. What he's trying to say is that crime should be reported, but not sensationalized, as a lot of...
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly what I'm... Well, I mean, but put a code on it. Put a code on it.
Sir, if you'd wait not interrupt me, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. But if you put a code on it, you know?
Now, as I said, that's what Dave is trying to express, but failing miserable at. And Dave, just from a professional standpoint, if you were applying to work for my department and you were...
Dan, I'm sorry. Hold on. Dan, hold on for a minute. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with you, Dan, so hang on the line for me here. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're in our break mode here. Talking to Dave Oliva. And a couple of other items, possibly Bobby Dooley on this Paula Deen situation. I don't know how many of you people are fans of hers, or how many of you use her recipes or know what's going on, but she's diabetic, and apparently she's still recommending these high-fat recipes. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil will be back with more from Dave Oliva.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're happy to be back with you. And we did promise a couple of segments here with Bobby Dooley. We're also going to have Roland Schwinn joining her from Fat Pride, an organization that is taking great exception to some of the coverage being generated around Paula Deen. Now, you may not know what's happening with Paula. You may not even know the name Paula Deen, but Paula Deen is a Southern woman from the southern part of the United States. She apparently, and again, I'm not completely familiar with her work, but she apparently is proficient and has become very famous in our country for creating these marvelous recipes of desserts as well as entrees that are none of this health conscious stuff. In other words, what Paula Deen is all about is delicious, fat, sugary desserts and entrees, and now she's apparently been diagnosed as having diabetes. She is a cigarette smoker. She's 65 years old. She looks pretty good. Now, looking at the pictures of her, she looks pretty good. But we're going to get Bobby Dooley on the line here to talk with us about this. And, Bobby, I know that for you, at least, it's been a vindication for what you've been saying for a long time concerning this woman's program, right? And, Bobby Dooley, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry, Phil. We were just listening to you on the radio. I apologize. We had our radio turned down.
What I'm saying is this is vindication for you.
Well, we really do think it is, Phil. It's really a vindication for Steve. My husband has always believed that Paula Deen has been sending the wrong message to young women and to young girls and women. Steve has always felt that her program has been a negative, not a positive, to the self-image of women, particularly our young girls who are trying to stay in shape and want to remain as beautiful as they can, as well as well-rounded as they can be. Paula Deen, in my husband's opinion, has been celebrating a lifestyle that is unhealthy, She has been responsible for a lot of women abandoning the fitness regimens that they have been on for so long and have abandoned themselves to a life of desserts and fat foods and looking every bit the part. My husband also believes that Ms. Dean, who does turn 65 on Thursday, should not have kept her diagnosis private, even though her family and she were trying to figure out what to do, presumably about her health and a career built solidly on Southern cooking. So my husband thinks that that was very disingenuous and hypocritical. Among her many recipes, and this needs to be out there, Steve put together a list.
Now, you're mentioned, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Hold on. He put together a list. Deep-fried cheesecake covered in chocolate. This is a Paula Deen recipe. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah, that's Paula Deen recipe. And powdered sugar and a quiche that calls for a pound of bacon, if you can believe it.
Now, my husband wants everyone to know.
I got to interrupt you here for a minute, Bobby.
Yes.
You have said, my husband, my husband, my husband, my husband. How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm supporting my husband in his view that to encourage women to look like Paula Deen is wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Well, I think that when you encourage women to look like that, which is what Paula Deen is encouraging women to look like her, they're encouraging women to be diabetic, to smoke, to lie.
Wait. Hold on for just a moment here, okay?
Yeah, Steve was saying to me...
Hold on for just a second. To lie... I said, what do you think, and you are still quoting your husband, and...
Well, this is a question, Phil. This is a husband's issue. It's not really our issue as women. We know what we want to do. But this issue is really about what our husbands expect from us. And yes, what we expect from ourselves, but also what our husbands expect from us.
You have said that, all right, you have said that Ms. Deen has encouraged women to look big or rotund or Rubenesque or however.
Well, the word is rotund, Mr. Henry.
Steve was saying that the word is rotund, and that means fat.
All right, rotund. So Paula Deen wants women to look fat. She wants women to smoke. She wants women to have diabetes, and she wants women to lie about it. Are you really honestly saying that?
Phil, it's not me. It's Steve who's saying it.
I'm asking you, Ms. Dooley, since I'm interviewing you. I'm not interviewing your husband. He didn't want to come on the show.
No.
You did.
Yes, I came on the program because I am very familiar with working in front of the media, yes.
Okay. You're on the show telling me what your husband thinks. And your husband believes that Paula Deen is encouraging young women to be fat, to have diabetes, to smoke, and to lie. Do you think that?
Again, Phil, it is not about me or any of the women involved in this issue.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I can't let you go with that because you're on my show. You're saying, my husband, my husband, my husband.
Maybe she agrees with me, Mr. Henry. You think about that?
Yeah, my husband just said that...
I heard what he said.
Yes, he said, what if I agree with him?
Well, do you agree with him?
Again, this is not about whether I agree with him or not. What we all want, all the women listening tonight. And so this is so very important. You know, I don't want to argue, but my God, all we want is to support our men and to not have this contention. Paula Deen, she is the one that has, you know, she made her bed and now she has to sleep in it. And as Steve was saying this morning, and he was trying to be funny, but he was also being very serious, Paula Deen made her bed and lined it in fat and oil. And now she has to lay in that slop.
If you got diabetes and everything.
And she has diabetes. I think, Phil, that Ms. Deen, who is a pitch person, by the way, for Novo Nordisk's new online Diabetes in a New Light program. So she lied. Then she got herself an endorsement deal. I just think that what my husband's trying to say is the following. And
Bobby, I know what your husband's saying. I've already got it.
Is the following, if you'll pardon me.
I know what he's saying.
Is the following, if you'll pardon me.
Go ahead.
That Paula Deen is encouraging women...
To be fat.
To be fat, yes, to be fat.
To smoke.
But then you're being rude to my wife.
I'm trying to tell you what my husband believes, and...
You told me that your husband... You told me that your husband believes that Paula Deen wants women to be fat.
She wants women to smoke. She wants women to be fat. And she wants women to have diabetes. And she wants women to lie.
And you honestly believe that's what Paula Deen wants? She does smoke.
Yes, absolutely.
She does smoke. She is overweight. She does have diabetes. I don't know that she lied.
Oh my God,
Mr. Andrew, you really waited on that one.
Oh my God, you know she lied.
I don't know that she lied. I know she did not immediately come out with the news that she had diabetes.
So here is a quote from Paula Deen, which I think is the absolute height of condescension. Quote, "I've always said practice moderation, y'all." Oh, my God.
Oh, my God,
yeah. Oh, my God.
What is...
Y'all. So she has put... What she's done with that y'all is she has roped an entire region into the lies. She's now Southern. Y'all. Everyone knows that a person with a charming Southern accent can get you to believe anything. Paula Deen, with her lies, has now gotten a generation of young women to believe that eating quiche made with one full pound of bacon
and fat too.
And the bacon fat is really, really going to... I could, if she said it's going to make your boobs bigger, I could get it. But,
all right, Ms. Dooley, I understand what you're saying here. You have a problem with Paula Deen. That's what we're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Let me tell you this much. Paula Deen has got some things to answer for. Number one, she didn't come out and say she had diabetes. She is a cigarette smoker. Look, I don't think she's denied any of this stuff. I think she probably should have come out and said, hey, I've got diabetes, when she got the diagnosis. She says that her family did keep this news to themselves while they figured out what they were going to do. Well, that's an interesting thing to say. And what she decided she'd do was take an endorsement deal for some kind of a diabetics diet. And, of course, you know, tried to figure out, and this is important, you do want to figure out how you want to present it to the public so it is going to reflect positively, not negatively. It's a normal thing. It's a human thing. It's something that everybody would do regardless. And Ms. Dooley, you know...
That's an absolute lie. What you just said there is a lie.
That people would not want to present something positively?
That's going to be a lie.
Not if my husband believes if it's...
You know, Ms. Dooley, hang on. And if you, during the break, I think you need to tell me, are you speaking for yourself or your husband? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Mm-hmm.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tonight we have Bobby Dooley on for a segment or two. Ms. Dooley is with the Western States Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Organization, has taken Paula Deen on here rather directly. Paula Deen, it was announced today, has been diagnosed with diabetes. I don't know what type, but it's not a... Well, I shouldn't say, but it is diabetes. It's serious enough when it affects someone who has been making her living, promoting various recipes and promoting a certain kind of culture in terms of food. Paula Deen is a Southern belle. She believes in the heavy creams and the sugars. And Bobby, you and your husband Steve, although it's been mostly your husband,
I'm speaking for my husband when I say that she is really, she's pushing it, I think, for a lot of people. There are 23 million Americans, Phil, who have common type 2 diabetes. And when you look at Paula Deen and you look at what she eats, which is, my God, quiche made with a pound of bacon. No wonder our young girls are, they're lost before they're even 21. They are huge. And
these girls are lost.
They're enormous. And it has to do with the Paula Deens of the world.
All right, our number is 877-876. Phil, I want to get some phone calls on from people who have had a number of things to comment. Here is Aaron on the Phil Hendry Show. Sir, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Mostly my husband.
Yes, sir.
Listen, here's the thing. You know, we had these parents some time back who were blaming McDonald's mm-hmm. for their kids being fat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The parents are taking their kids to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to blame McDonald's for making your
mm-hmm.
kids fat if you're the one buying
mm-hmm.
the food for them to eat to get fat with? That's just
mm-hmm.
as far out in that field
mm-hmm.
as blaming Paula Deen for all these women getting fat
mm-hmm.
and losing their looks and everything else. Here's the thing. I watch Paula Deen quite a bit, and I'm going to tell
mm-hmm.
you what.
Mm-hmm.
She makes dishes that you can make
mm-hmm.
on special occasions. You don't have to make
mm-hmm.
your food all the time and
mm-hmm.
eat all the time. Of course you're going to get up,
mm-hmm.
get overweight and fat.
Oh,
why are you going to make food
God.
Like that all the time?
Hold on. Mr. Dooley, what'd you say?
What'd you say, Steve?
Paula Deen eats it all the time. Look at her.
My husband
says Paula Deen owns a restaurant,
obviously.
Too.
She eats it all the time. Look at her. Look at what she's become.
She's a celebrity. I'll give you that. But how do you
diabetes? She's a celebrity with diabetes who smokes and can't have sex with her husband.
Whoa! Where do you get
whoa.
That?
Well,
I didn't
hold
that
on
far.
A minute. Well, let's be reasonable. Look at the size of the woman.
Ms. Dooley, I can't make that comment. I don't want you to. That has nothing to do with this.
Well, look at her.
Look at the woman.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ms. Dooley, if I may.
All you do is look at her.
She might be a curvy woman to some people, but I'll
mm-hmm.
tell you what, she's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
woman, I think. I think she's beautiful.
Well, there's a lot of men that have, I don't know if it's healthy, but there are a lot of men that like that kind of morbidly obese woman.
We don't even know that she's
obese. I mean, she might be a little heavy, but
pretty.
She's not morbidly obese.
She's rough. She's rough to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And
look, we're demeaning this woman in a way that we don't need to, Ms. Dooley. If she's fat, okay. If she's smoking, all right. If she's got diabetes, I understand. Saying that she can't have sex with her husband and she's morbidly obese, I think is going over the line.
Mr. Henry, I did not say it. She's the one that parades her big fat. Can I say it?
Oh, my God.
This is a man. What do you find so funny? I'm very curious.
I just can't. We all have imperfections, but, I mean, you're just stoning this woman to death.
I did not come out. Excuse me. Maybe you didn't read the article. The woman did not tell people she had diabetes. She held this back while she figured out what her next PR move would be. My goodness. And she gets on television and parades that big arse of hers.
Okay, well, then she was
oh,
only hurting
boy.
Herself. Why would she be hurting the rest of us if she's holding that back?
Because there are housewives out there that see that big ass and think it's okay.
And if they go that far, I mean, to be real honest
yeah.
with you, they're pretty
yeah.
cool as themselves.
Their business. And it's their business, too. Aaron, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go up to Curtis. Curtis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask Miss Dooley, how do you think that
mm-hmm.
she would wish
mm-hmm.
anybody to have
mm-hmm.
diabetes and be overweight?
I'm sorry, could you say that? How did she wish?
No, why do you think she would wish that on anybody to have diabetes?
Well, because she has it herself. She knows the people are influenced by her.
Okay, so with her being having a type of it's a common type of diabetes, but with her having that, you think that she would wish that on anybody else?
Well, I think she knows the influence she has on people. I think she knew that the kinds of food she was cooking and making for people and having people make at home would create this problem. How could you not wish that your viewers get diabetes or worse when you're making that kind of slop.
You're
making that kind of slop.
On occasion, she doesn't tell you to live by it.
Well, when you look at her, what do you think the truth is?
That's a good point. When you look at
it, I think the truth is that she lives how she wants to. She doesn't tell everybody else to live
exactly
how she wants to live.
Yes, she does. When she, again, I'll go back to the term the last man laughed at. When she gets on television and she parades that ass, that's telling people, look at how I live, and I don't care.
Are you saying that she's saying to people, live like me?
Well, Phil, yes, I am saying that because look at how she lives, look at who she is. She smokes cigarettes. She has diabetes.
I think she actually has done quite well for herself, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go out there
well,
and get diabetes.
Whatever. She's done. What does that mean? So she's going to have a really nice coffin? So she'll be buried in a really nice mausoleum? Is that how well she's done? She's going to be buried in a marble mausoleum. Good for her.
Yeah, good point, Bobby.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
You have to accept that. You have to accept.
I don't think there's any point in saying anything else. Thank you.
You have to accept what I said.
No, he doesn't, and I think the gentleman is. Thank you very much, sir, for your patience. 877-876-PHIL.
What do you mean, patience?
I went and had that patience.
Hey, listen, Mr. Dooley, if you didn't want to come on the show and be interviewed by me, why are you talking in the background?
Excuse me. My husband's entitled to his opinion.
Well, you're the one that's been on here going, my husband, my husband, my husband. Okay?
That's right.
Then why isn't your husband talking to me?
I'm not a very good interview person.
Did you hear that?
He's talking to me over your shoulder like I don't... It's a very bizarre configuration that we have here. Here is Gene on the Phil Hendry Show. Gene, go ahead.
Yes, I can't believe this lady is giving Paula Deen so much power over fat kids and fat women. And I'm a fat truck driver driving through Louisville, Kentucky right now.
That's a double whammy.
Nobody to blame for my fat ass except for me.
Louisville's to blame now. Because I know what you're going to do.
I'm for Louisville. I'm buying McDonald's time, so I'm going to eat about...
You're going to stop. I know what you're going to do. You're going to stop at the Varsities in Louisville.
I'm going to wipe out all this shit.
Exactly.
I'm going to go sit at McDonald's.
He's in Louisville, Phil. There's a heart attack of a...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're into Wednesday morning. That means it's garbage time, bud.
Yeah, take the can out.
You take it out.
I don't want you guys discussing it right now. Just the can goes out. The studio can goes out. The one at home, I'll take out my own can, if you'll pardon the expression. You guys take out whatever passes for garbage at your house, which is probably you guys. I don't think you guys have taken a garbage out in years.
No, that's not true. When did we take it out?
I took the trash out last month.
Last month?
Hey,
but there just isn't that much.
No, there's not that much in the can, but there's a whole bunch laying on the floor. Why don't you try picking some of that stuff up?
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the program here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. This is our news and information hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And just to let you know, we are online at philhendryshow.com, which is the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. That is our worldwide web headquarters, philhendryshow.com. And there you can find live streaming video cast of our show every night. You can also find our archives. You can find our daily podcast. And you can find a host of other odds and ends and TV appearances and so forth that we've done. Also, we have occasionally the free Classic Phil podcast. We are going to be putting online our Chris Putte Hour that we did, the Chris Putte Show, which is whatever that was, the Chris Putte Difference or something. And certainly, from time to time, you can join us for our live events like Phil's Sunday Football. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and know what the world's talking about. All right. So we've got some news here, and boy, what a weekend it was. It was, like I said, we did the football. which was the Sunday Football with Phil.
How'd it go?
Well, I mean, weren't you watching?
Well, we were watching the game. We didn't watch you.
Oh, well, thanks.
No, just that, you know, by the time you got on there, it was kind of late.
No, I got on there right when the show started, right when the game started. You guys probably tuned in late is what happened.
Yeah, we tuned in the fourth quarter.
Tuned in the fourth quarter. Well, you guys are really interested in what's going on with the game. I split in the fourth quarter. The game got out of hand. It didn't get out of hand. The game was very obvious sometime in the fourth quarter when we finally concluded our Sunday Football with Phil that the game was not going to be won by the Green Bay Packers. They were giving the New York Giants the best that they had, and their best on Sunday, they got completely... They were just completely shook by the New York defense. If you watched the game, you saw and heard the repeat references to dropped balls. I thought, you know, Joe Buck was trying to rat the Packers out a little bit on that fumble, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. You were talking about that one guy.
Well, I mean, Buck, take it easy. You know, they'll take a look at it, man. And the coach threw the red flag, so we don't need you up there in the Fox booth, Buck. Going, oh, look, he fumbled. So, because you know that that's going to become an issue. If those guys make it an issue on the TV broadcast, it's going to be an issue. I did see our good friends Ephraim Ramirez and John Heater there in the crowd, two principals, two of the cast members on Napoleon Dynamite. They were there and very prominently featured. Now, the news on Napoleon Dynamite, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Just let's stick with the game. So the football game, though, was one of... lost opportunity, but more importantly, the New York defense was a brutal, brutal thing to behold, and there was it just wasn't going to happen. They were not intimidated in the least being in Lambeau. The Giants are playing on the road. That's a team, it seems like every time I see them, they're playing on the road and winning a big game on the road. And Eli Manning looked every bit like Aaron Rodgers, and he looked more like Aaron Rodgers than Aaron Rodgers did. I think they're going to beat the 49ers.
No way. No way. What do you think they'll beat the 49ers?
Because, you know, I'm going to resist the temptation to think as a Californian, this is a more important thing, folks. As an L.A. football fan, I've seen the 49ers just destroy the dreams of football fans over the years in cities all over the country. And I'm tempted to think they'll do the same thing with this squad. This is not the Joe Montana San Francisco 49ers. This is the Alex Smith San Francisco 49ers. And while it's a very talented football team, they don't have Bill Walsh. They got Jim Harbaugh. I'm sure he's a good coach, but I think that Tom Coughlin's better. I think Eli Manning's the better quarterback. I think that the Giants are playing better football. I don't think being on the road's going to matter to them at all. I think the Giants are now, I think they love it, you know. And they're the Big Apple team, and I think they're coming from that whole New York mindset. So but what do I know, you know?
Well yeah, don't bet on it, man. I think Betty love a 49er.
Jeez, bud, was that English?
No, don't kidding. I said you gotta go bet on it. Everybody loves the 49ers.
No, I don't have to go bet on it. That's just my opinion. I don't want everybody going, and I just think they will. All right. Now that having been said. Then there was what the hell else? Oh, Napoleon Dynamite came on following the football game. Napoleon Dynamite, the animated show based on the film of the same name, a show that I've contributed a number of character voices to over the next several episodes, debuted Sunday night at 8:30 and 9:30, had a very good tune-in audience. And apparently it held the audience. It didn't hold the entire audience, but it held pretty strong football and was able to hold its audience at 9:30 as well. And there was a bunch of things that I don't want to get into a lot of TV speak. It's just a bunch of stuff. But, you know, everybody's happy with the ratings coming out. Now, the question here is how will it be down the road? And these shows, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you know, if you watch TV, these shows, the fate of these shows is decided within a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that, man. I mean, I'll just get to watching a show. Next thing I know, it's off the air.
Right. I mean, it happens, you know, and they don't care who's in it. They don't care who's starring in it. I remember one year when we were doing a pilot over at NBC, I'm not trying to say I'm, you know, but we were over there. We were doing a Phil Hendry show pilot. But anyway, Heather Locklear was, she had a show. Man, they dumped that thing in the garbage can within like an episode or something.
That's a bad thing to say on account of she was in a hospital with an OD.
Well, Bud, I'm not trying to stick it in and turn it. I'm sorry, okay? Maybe I should have brought up somebody else. Jeez, man, but you think of the weirdest stuff.
You're just talking business.
Anyway, so we'll see. But these things are decided, and within 2-3 weeks, we'll know whether we have a TV show or what I mean by that is we'll know whether this show is, first of all, is going to stay on for all of the episodes that were done. And then at the end of that run, you find out whether or not the show is going to be picked up for a fall season. Because here's the thing. These shows that start in the month of what this is, January. Is that what they did?
Yeah, what?
I don't understand. I guess Fox does it different or something. Sometimes they'll do a show. You want to do a spring replacement, and you're shooting the damn thing right up to the minute that it goes on the air. Anyway. And if it does well, then maybe it comes back on next year. But I thank all of you for watching, and I'm sorry I'm dragging this out. And why don't I just shut my mouth? Who cares? But anyway, it was really a lot of fun. Thank you. Okay, I'm all done with the human head thing, man. I, you know, don't want to talk about that anymore. We've got a lot of news that we're going to get to here this hour. The first thing out of the box, though, that I wanted to look at is this Newt Gingrich and the South Carolina primary. Now, I don't know when the hell that is, I'm sorry, but he was very excited about getting the Palin nod. Newt Gingrich was, he got the Sarah Palin, you know, endorsement. He thinks Sarah Palin's remarks on Fox News that she would vote for him in Saturday's primary if she lived in South Carolina may be what puts him over the top. That's what he told Todd Palin, the former vice presidential nominee's husband, who outright endorsed him ahead of the New Hampshire primary. We're thrilled. I just talked to Todd, and we're just thrilled, he told Politico, as he headed into his hotel here for the night. It's a signal to every conservative that the one conservative vote that's effective is to Newt Gingrich, and that's very helpful. Gingrich's campaign immediately cut a YouTube video of the Palin remarks and tweeted it out to supporters. Palin, Gingrich said, is part of a rush of support he believes will power him to victory on Saturday, and from there into the candidate who will beat Mitt Romney, to the GOP nomination. Lots of different things are working together to help us, Gingrich said. I'm just kidding about Gingrich, mispronouncing his name. Now,
what about Chip Salzman? What about Chip Salzman?
Yeah, what about Chip Salzman?
Just want to know what Chip Salzman said.
Why?
Because I think he's got a bitchin' name.
Oh, will you get out of here? Well, here it is here. But Chip Salzman, former campaign manager to Mike Huckabee, cautioned that with the election in only a few days and the support likely stopping with her remarks on Hannity, the news may have come too late to make a difference. For it to make an impact, she needs to come to support him. Is it a game changer where it turns everything around? My thoughts are probably not. So what he's saying is that she has to not just be sitting on Hannity's show. She's got to go to South Carolina and talk it up.
But don't she?
I don't know. Maybe she will. I mean, today's only, you know, this is Wednesday morning now. You know, maybe she will. We'll see. We'll see how much she supports Newt Gingrich. Because if she doesn't come to South Carolina, she's going to have to. I'll tell you why. I think Romney may make an issue out of that. Or this guy Salzman, who's the former campaign manager of Mike Huckabee, just let the cat out of the bag. He says, well, it's one thing to say it on the Sean Hannity show. It's another thing to come and campaign for the guy. And if Romney's people get a hold of that, maybe they'll make something out of it. In any event, in an appearance on Fox News, Palin stopped short of endorsing Gingrich, but she didn't leave any doubt where her preference was. I would vote for Newt, and I would want it to continue. More debates, more vetting of candidates. I would vote for Newt. That's an endorsement for the...
But really, state, that's not an endorsement.
That's an endorsement for South Carolina, but it is not an endorsement down the road. She said right now she'd vote for Newt Gingrich.
But she's saying they got to get more candidates.
Yeah, she wants to see more vetting of candidates. All right, so Palin is a well-known pain in the... I mean, she's... I'm just kidding. She is a well-known conservative, you know, like that there. Well-known figure in the conservative movement, and her endorsement has been considered one of the biggest gets. In this year's campaign cycle, she used her support strategically in 2010, weighing in on midterm elections that in turn produced large fundraising prowess and surprise primary victories. Gingrich has been traveling the Palmetto State trying to make the argument that despite disappointing finishes in New Hampshire and Iowa, he's the best candidate for conservatives to rally around. He may be the best candidate for conservatives to rally around. But why are conservatives steering the Republican Party? You see?
That's what the Republicans are.
No, the Republicans are not just conservatives. The Republicans, the Republican vote that's going to, the winning vote, and I'm sorry, this is not Ronald Reagan anymore, man. We've moved on. God bless Ronald Reagan, you know, if you're of a mind, and he was a president, and I have nothing but honor for our presidents. I remember when Ronald Reagan got elected. Ronald Reagan got elected on a wave of absolute disgust with the presidency of Jimmy Carter, stagnation of action in Washington. It seemed like Washington and the elected representatives in Washington were at the beck and call of unions, criminals. I mean, it's like, that's how sad it was. It was like unions and criminals were all in the same, bunched into the same category. And Democrats appeared to be weak, and they appeared to be, because they had controlled Congress, remember. It didn't matter whether Nixon or Ford were president. The Democrats controlled Congress. And one of the most effective ads I saw when Ronald Reagan was running for president, I'll never forget this ad. It was a series of ads featuring working class people. And they were talking about how they had lost a lot of money from their paycheck because of taxes. And they were talking about how in many cases they'd lost their job. And they were talking about how in many cases it was difficult to get their kids to good schooling and so on and so forth. They looked at the camera, these working class people, truck drivers, school teachers, you name it. And they said, you bet I'm going to vote and it won't be for the Democrats. That was, and it was a Ronald Reagan Republican ad. That was basically an expression of that generation of voters, that the Democrats had fallen and failed miserably. Now, Democrats had no comeback for that. They had none. They had controlled Congress, and for the previous 4 years, they'd had a Democratic president, and the country was in the toilet. I don't know. The situation's not the same now. The wave of conservative votes and the wave of just conservative of sympathy in 1980 is not what it is today. People do want to see an effective government. Not, well, you know.
Don't get too tied up in all this stuff.
I know, I'm sorry. All right, so anyway, we'll see. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you got to finish.
No, I said enough. I said enough, man. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. I'm not going to go in a big... What the hell am I... Why do you guys let me do that?
Truth,
yeah, it sucks.
Is our bitch. The it Phil sucks. Henry Show.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here all over the place, baby, and philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Henry needs. Check it out. Get a backstage pass. We got a big meeting coming up this week. All of our on-demand media within the next few months will be viewable, watchable, however you want to put it, on your iPad and on your iPhone, man. We are beginning the big transition. Maybe we aren't on it as fast as, say, Kevin Pollak's site. He's got a fantastic, the Kevin Pollak chat show site's fantastic, man. You can look at all of his archives, on demand, Apple, non-Apple, you know, BlackBerry doesn't make any difference. But we're getting there. Concordia, this is the goofiest story and the most tragic story and the weirdest story. And I there's a million stories here that, there's 8 million stories in the Naked City. And this ain't one of them. This is in Italy.
Yeah, but still a good story.
Still, it's not just a good story. It's a cautionary tale. It's a view at human nature. It is a tragedy. It is the human drama unfolding. It's the Concordia disaster, the cruise ship that ran aground last week. 11 people now are believed to be dead. We don't know how many. There's 24 people missing. Italian judges have now put under house arrest the captain of that cruise ship that crashed into those rocks on Friday. Prosecutors say that Francesco Schettino caused the crash and then fled the Costa Concordia while passengers were still stranded. Can you imagine that? The captain left the ship.
Everybody says the captain's supposed to go down with it.
Yeah.
Should have stayed on while it sunk.
It didn't sink, man. It was run aground. But here's the thing. My question, and it might have been a very basic question and perhaps a stupid question when I asked it, but I wasn't sure at the time what actually happened to the ship, but I wondered aloud, as many might have, how do fatalities result in a ship running aground? Now, it's not necessarily a fact that it can't happen. When a large ship like that hits a sandbar, hits rocks, or whatever it does, people may be jarred downstairs. They may be thrown from beds. There's a number of different things that could happen that might cause a fatality on board. But I was just curious, how did this thing run aground, and what happened? Well, what happened was the ship ran aground and then tipped over on its side.
They got a picture of it?
Well, there's got to be a picture of it someplace. But it literally tipped. That's what my understanding is, that it tipped over on its side. And hence, now it's much more understandable. And here is a picture of it right here. There's a rescue operation. I'd like to get this up online so that our listeners can watch it, bud.
I'm on it.
Yeah, good. You're on it. So this is a picture of a ship that has run aground and has tipped over on its side. We're going to have it for you. This is an enormous picture, but you'll get a look at this showing the smokestack on this thing and the fact that it's right there on its side with tugboats and rescue ships. Sailing out to it. I don't know if you're ever going to get this thing up and running here, bud. News for Concordia. Here it is. If you guys are looking on Phil TV and HD, here's the good Lord. Look at that picture.
Oh, my God, man. That thing that's like on the side.
It is. It's resting. An entire cruise ship has tipped over onto its side. Now you can see how people are going to be, how you're going to have fatalities there. Now, here's what the Italian authorities, we'll just kind of leave that picture up. I wish I could focus in a little more for you, but the Italian authorities say that while that ship had tipped over onto its side, the captain left the ship. And here's the bad news for Captain Schettino. A recording of a call between Captain Schettino and a port official after the crash appears to support that the captain stranded his passengers. Rescuers have recovered 11 bodies. We're going to be back with more of this, and we'll get this really huge picture up online for you to see. But we're going to keep talking about the Concordia and where this captain went and this phone conversation that just, I mean, this guy is caught dead to rights. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Bill Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and again, online at philhendryshow.com. We're just doing our video cast tonight, as we do each and every night, but I found some photographs online that show the underwater version of what happened to the Costa Concordia, and that it's very interesting, but the one that I've got here on my main computer that I haven't been able to show my listeners, here's one here. This is a pretty good shot right here. The cruise ship is sitting on its side. And as of today, the Italian judges that have been hearing this case have put under house arrest the captain of the ship, a man by the name of Francesco Schettino. Four crew members, one each from Italy, Hungary, India, and Peru, are also missing from the incident just off the coast of the island of Giglio Porto. There's 20 passengers that are missing who are from countries such as Germany, Italy, France, and the United States. By the way, this cruise line is owned in part, or maybe wholly owned, by Carnival, which is the which is owned by Mickey Arison. Mickey Arison is worth about $6-7 billion and was at one time, may still be, the owner of the Miami Heat. He also owns Carnival, he owns Princess, a number of these cruise lines, and this one that owns the Costa Concordia. New satellite information shown to the BBC's Newsnight program shows that the vessel had a near miss even closer to the island last August in a diversion that was apparently approved by the ship's owners, Costa Cruises. A recording of a call between Captain Schettino and listen to this. A recording of a call between Captain Schettino and port officials shortly after the crash appears to support the prosecutor's accusation that the captain left the vessel while the passengers were still on board.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You're not allowed to do that.
But what do you mean you're not allowed to do it?
It's not. You don't leave the ship. You don't leave the ship, Robert. I mean, everybody knows, you know, the captain's the man. He's the guy that, you don't go down. You don't have to go down with the ship.
I heard you're supposed to sink with it.
Yeah, me too.
You know you're not supposed to sink with it. It's ridiculous. But the captain traditionally stays on board until everyone is safe. The captain stays on board until everybody else is. Oh, that is the tradition. And there are a lot of old school captains that have literally gone down with a ship because they were not going to leave that ship until all of their crew and their passengers were safe. And one, notably, was the captain of the Titanic, whose name, forgive me, escapes me. It was dramatized in the film, and I don't know if it actually happened the way that they say it did.
But what did he do in a movie?
Well, he went up into the wheelhouse there, into the pilot's house, and the captain did, and stood there as literally water just smashed through the windows and cascaded and into the wheelhouse there, and he was lost. A recording of a call between Captain Schettino and a port official shortly after the crash appears to support the prosecutor's accusation the captain left the vessel while the passengers were still on board. In the recording released by the Corriere della Sera newspaper, Livorno Port Authority Chief Gregorio De Falco can be heard repeatedly telling the captain to get back on board the ship to help the stranded passengers. Schettino, maybe you saved yourself from the sea, but I'll make you have trouble for sure. Go aboard, says Mr. DeFalco. He's threatening him. And this is the rough English translation. But he's basically saying, if you don't get back on that ship, I'll make sure you have some serious problems, you know.
What's he going to do?
He's going to bring this guy up on charges. Now, the captain appears to refuse, replying first that there are rescuers already on board, and then that it is dark and difficult to see. DeFalco replies, do you want to go home, Schettino? It's dark, so you want to go home? Coast Guard believe he never went back to the ship. He was arrested shortly afterwards. He's been held in jail since. But during a court hearing on Tuesday, the captain said he could not get on board the vessel because it was lying on its side. He argued that after hitting rocks, he had executed a difficult maneuver that had saved many people's lives. His lawyer, Bruno Liparati, later announced that the judge had decided to release the captain from jail and place him under house arrest. Prosecutor Francesco Veruzio, who'd argued that Captain Schettino was a flight risk, said he did not understand the ruling. He said, I'm keen to read the reasoning that the judge used. Meanwhile, rescuers found six more bodies in the wreck of the ship on Tuesday, bringing the confirmed death toll to 11. Five victims are a woman and four men who could be passengers but are not sure, according to one of the Coast Guard spokespeople, Filippo Marini. He added that the dead people were between 50 and 60 years of age and were wearing life jackets.
Well, they were wearing life jackets.
Are you joking around or something, man?
No way.
So they were wearing life jackets. Hey.
Well, they were wearing a life jacket, man. They're dead.
Yeah, but at least they were wearing a life jacket.
So what if they were wearing their life jackets?
If they weren't wearing a life jacket, then what would they say?
Then they'd say they probably still drowned because the ship tipped over sideways. They were wearing their life jackets. The bodies were found near one of the assembly points where people are told to gather in an emergency. Oh, man. The authorities are also battling to avoid an environmental disaster amid fears the cruise ship's fuel tanks could break apart and shed thousands of tons of diesel fuel into the sea. Oh, great. God, you know, it was last year, man. I almost forgot. It was that BP oil spill in the middle of everything, man. I totally spaced on that.
What?
That it even happened. Do you remember?
Yeah, now that you mention it.
That I remember when that thing happened. I remember thinking, my God, if they don't get the cap. I was worried. I was thinking, if they don't cap that, man, what's it going to do to the oceans of the world, you know? God knows what it's done already. But it'll be a really interesting thing to study, because with an environmental disaster like that, all that oil that got pumped into the Gulf, in 5 years, you know, how does Mother Earth heal herself? Or does she? Or if she does, how does she? And how fast does it take? There's a lot of people, man, that love to, you know, paint all of these pictures of disaster whenever anything happens. Like, mankind is the worst infection to ever visit the planet Earth. And if we could just get rid of humans, it would be like getting rid of the leprosy virus or something, you know?
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, get out of here, will you? So, it'll be interesting to see as the months and years go by what happens down in the Gulf in terms of the regeneration of the ecosystem down there, you know.
I don't know what ecosystem means.
Yeah, sometimes I'm talking to you guys, I might as well be talking into the breeze here. You don't know what ecosystem, just in basically the nature, you know, what, bud?
Yeah, the nature part of it.
Exactly. Good thing I'm educated. Specialist salvage teams have been drafted in and are due to start pumping the fuel out in coming days. So that's the fuel situation. Meanwhile, satellite tracking information given to the BBC by the shipping journal Lloyd's List Intelligence shows the Costa Concordia sailed closer to Giglio Island on a cruise last August than it did on its disastrous voyage on Friday. Lloyd's List told the BBC that the vessel passed within 230 meters of the island in August of 2011 to mark La Notte di San Lorenzo, the night of the Shooting Stars Festival on the island. The route deviation on that occasion had been authorized by Costa Cruises, the company which owns the vessel, because they were having some kind of a shooting star festival at night, and they wanted to get close to the island. The company said on Monday the ship was never closer than 500 meters to the coast when it passed on August 14th, but according to satellite photography, it shows the vessel within 230 meters of the island. There's going to be a whole bunch. Once again, man, we got, you know, the cruise ship business has been fantastic. People love to take these cruises. Now, watch what this does. They ain't like nothing good that happens and something bad doesn't turn around and just shut it down.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about that, man. Like, my aunt was going to go on a cruise. Now I'm thinking they're going to shut the cruisers down because some jackass, he don't know how to steer a ship.
Yeah, they got to find guys that know how to steer ships better.
It ain't got nothing to do with a guy that knows how to steer a ship better. I think this has to do with navigation. You know what I mean by navigation?
Uh-uh.
It ain't steering the ship so much as knowing where the ship's supposed to go. Okay?
Yeah, you got to steer it.
You got to steer it. Look, anybody can steer a car. Anyone knows that steering a car to the left or the right, the car goes left or right. But you got to know where you're going. Where am I taking this car? Am I going straight? Am I going left? Am I going right?
Just go anywhere you want.
Not in a ship, you don't. Anyway, Costa Cruises said on Monday the route deviation last Friday had been unauthorized, unapproved, and unknown to Costa. Oh, man, we'll find out. We'll find out. You better believe we'll find out. And when we do, I don't know, like I was saying in the pre-show, this whole thing reminds me of the Exxon Valdez, although it's not the same thing. The Exxon Valdez was a fuel tanker, but I'll never forget when that ship captain on the Exxon Valdez, man, they hung that guy out to dry, that cat. And, you know, not without good reason. That dude was apparently drunk. And a number of other things. I think the individual in charge was not supposed to be. He was a first mate or, whatever.
Cabin boy.
The cabin boy something. And that turned into a real cluster you-know-what. So it sucks, man. It sucks. All right, so I think looking at that, and if you look at the picture of that ship, wow, man. You know, and like, you know, you don't even feel safe on a boat, man, on a ship. You know, I grew up, my father was a sailor. I've been out on the ocean in sailing boats, and I've been out on the ocean in cabin cruisers, and I have no fear of the ocean. I can go out there, and if a boat sunk out from underneath me, I know how to swim. I'm not saying that I'm such a great swimmer that I would last very long. I mean, I could swim, but, you know, the water, the temperature of the water, all that stuff depends on whether you're going to survive.
What do you mean?
I mean, you can get hypothermia. If the water's too cold, it doesn't matter if you know how to swim, man. Your limbs will begin to lock up. You won't be able to move your legs or your arms, and you're done for, man. Nonetheless, barring all of that stuff, you know how to swim, you know?
Yeah, I'd be afraid of a shark, though.
Well, ain't nothing you can do about a shark, you know? Just better hope you don't look like a seal. And you know what? I probably don't look like a seal so much as I look like a walrus. So
yeah, you probably get hit by a walrus-eating shark.
Yeah, that's funny. But a giant boat like that? Man, oh, man. And you know, that thing, when it goes down, it'll suck you right under, man.
What are you talking about?
What, are you kidding? If a ship like that goes down...
Didn't you see Titanic when the whole thing sucked everybody down?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's, what happens is, when a mast like that sinks in the middle of the ocean, and this is what in the middle of the ocean ran aground, so what's going to happen, but when something that big sinks, man, and it's displacing all of that water, you're getting sucked down with it. You ain't just jumping off and swimming, Jack. You better jump off and make sure you have swum a long way away from that sucker before it starts going down, or you're going down with it.
Oh, man, are you kidding me now? I thought you could hang on for the till the last second and jump.
I wouldn't recommend it. I'd say get into a lifeboat or start swimming for the freaking hills, man. Because when that thing goes down, it'll take you down with it. Something that size? Look at it.
They used to say don't stand next on a railroad track. It'll suck you down a track.
That's a load of horse dung. I heard that, too, when I was a kid.
What?
They used to say don't stand too close to a train because it'll suck you under the track. Look, who's going to stand that close to a train anyway, scared to death? But my mom used to say, don't stand too close to the tracks. Back when there were trains that we used to actually... I still remember, and this is just, you know, when I was five. I was 5 years old. My mother took us all to the Pasadena Rail Station here in Pasadena, California, to see my dad off on a business trip to Rochester, New York. He was taking the train.
Wow, man. He didn't take no plane, huh?
Didn't take the plane. He took the train. And I don't know why. It must have been less expensive. It must have been less expensive. Because we were a small family and a young family, and my dad was, I remember him working two jobs. So why would this cat want to take a train trip if it costs too much, you know?
Maybe he just wanted to take a train trip. He wanted to blow some money.
Well, it's possible. Knowing my dad, yeah, it's possible. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with other news. Have we milked this Concordia disaster enough? I don't know. Other stuff to get into here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this now Wednesday morning. Where's that other one? Oh, yeah. Well, we already told you about Paula Deen.
Yeah, we talked about her fat ass.
Get out of here with fat ass. We got other stuff, man. Don't worry about it. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Saturday nights, we do a local show here in Southern California, but we're available each and every night on Phil TV in HD. And also, our 5-day archive shows our video cast there as well. And you can, listen to our podcast. The daily podcast of our show is commercial free and available through iTunes. You can sign up for it on our website. You need to have a backstage pass, though, to get a hold of that one. Hollywood's anti-pirate, this is so boring, but I have to say something about it, because all day long, there were people blacking out their sites. You probably heard of Wikipedia doing it. You probably heard of all kinds of people were blacking out their site. There's a this monkey-see-monkey-do thing that happens with hip issues really is irritating. Because all of a sudden, like lemmings, everybody is doing what the other guy is doing because, hey, the other guy that's doing it is really kind of cool. Yeah, I don't know the names of celebrities that may be associated with a opposition to SOPA, S-O-P-A, which is the Stop Online Piracy Act. But all day today, I've been hearing people talking about blacking out Wikipedia and Google blacked out and lots of different sites. Now, let me, and by blackout, all it means is either they put a black banner across the name of their site, or some of them went further and actually removed their content for a while from the site, like Wikipedia did. What is the Stop Online Piracy Act? And why do you care? Why should you care? Well, you and I, it's nothing. Stop Online Piracy is something to protect companies, any company, whose material is being hosted illegally on a site, and the individuals running that site are refusing to take it down. And you're asking, well, how does that happen? Well, for instance, Pirate Bay, which is located in Sweden, they make a point of mocking takedown notices. They've gotten takedown notices from all the major studios. They've gotten takedown notices, meaning if you have material on your site that are not allowed to have on your site, the copyright holder has informed you, please take that off your site, and you refuse, you're in violation of the law. Pirate Bay in Sweden laughs at that stuff because their philosophy was, what law are you talking about? International law? Well, we're not going to pay any attention to that. We don't think it's enforceable. We believe in internet freedom, and that means that we're going to host all of these, you know, all of this material that infringes copyright. So the Hollywood movie people got together and they put some muscle into their efforts at getting Pirate Bay to take this stuff down, and literally had the principals of that company arrested, had them jailed, had them fined, and were successful in having their material removed. But whether it stays off of Pirate Bay for a long time or not, Pirate Bay has no intention of, once these, I don't think these guys are out of jail now, I don't think they've got any intention of stopping the posting of material that they do not, or the hosting of material that they don't have any right to. I think they're going to continue to do that. So Hollywood went a step further, and they endorsed and supported and have thrown their weight behind a bill called Stop Online Piracy. And what does this bill do? It shuts down the website. So it isn't just a matter of, you got a notice, you're supposed to take my stuff down. Screw you. Aha! Now the Stop Online Piracy Act kicks in. Your business is now shut down. That's what they want. And that's what people have been opposed to all day with the blacking out. Why? Well, people are opposed because they feel, number one, the law is clear. The law says that when you are, and by the way, the International Pirate Party and the U.S. Pirate Party agree with the current law, which is basically this. If we tell you, hi, that's my stuff you have on your site, you must take it down, then you must take it down. If you don't, you're in violation of the law. Do you get your business taken away from you? No. However, I can sue you. I can sue you for damages and whatever the hell else.
Man, they think that's fine.
And people think that that law as it exists is fine. But I will tell you this. While I do too, I see some merit in the Stop Online Piracy Act, if for no other reason than you have these international offenders like Pirate Bay who don't care and are telling you to stick it up your you-know-what morning, noon, and night. And Pirate Bay, by the way, not only rips off Hollywood, they rip off little guys too, small people who have copyright. Pirate Bay doesn't care how much money you make or what economic class you're in. They will try to hurt you regardless. That's why I don't like those bastards, and I'm going to Sweden tomorrow to sleep with their girlfriends. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by myself and Dan Northcraft. God bless.
Phil Hendry.
Sleeping with his girlfriend.